It says we don't mourn like those who have no hope. And I know that Mike has experienced a tremendous loss in his life. But he handled it like a man of integrity and a man of character. And I'm proud to serve this fellowship with him. I'm proud to count him in my circle of friends. Because I don't know many people of that kind of integrity and character. And I think he not only represented the church well, he represented the Christ that he loves well. And I think we ought to tell him thank you. Amen. And let's continue to pray. Amen. Amen. And yesterday riding home, I said, Lord, now I can tell you what I think I would do, but how many of you know that what you will do and what you think you do sometimes? I said, Lord, when my dad passes away, which I'm hoping you'll come before that happens, but if my dad passes away before you come, will I be singing in the praise and worship band at his funeral? I can't honestly answer that question. I can tell you what I think I'd like to do. You know? That was a tremendous testimony. Amen. And I want to thank you for it. If I can have a couple elders come and hand these outlines out for me, please. And if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Thank you, Randy. I want to encourage you that if you have not been here, if you've had something happen where you've missed one of the last two Sundays, please hear me because I'm real serious. If you've missed one of the last two Sundays, I want you to get a tape, and this is a suggestion. I want you to get a tape and listen to it. If you're an elder and you've missed one of the last twos, it is mandatory for you to get a tape and listen to it. All righty? Because we admitted 2 weeks ago that we're in a spiritual dry place. Now, you know, Mom and Dad and I, we had lunch together yesterday and we were talking about attitude and perspective. And you can cry and go, oh, we're in a real dry place. Hey, that means something new's coming. You know, it's like I was out working in my yard a couple weeks ago and I was cleaning up the lot that my dogs are in. I can't remember the last time I worked so hard. And I've changed my shirt 4 times. I have one of those masks on that you wear to keep dust out. I changed that 3 times. Just a nasty, horrendous job. But I kept thinking to myself, it only takes so many rakes with that rake for this job to be done. And every time I do one, that's one less I got to do. And that's how I had to encourage myself to finish. Because every time I'd rake, I'd say, well, that's one less I got to do to get this job done. You can stand and you can look at a job and you go, man, that looks hard. Or you can decide that every time you rake, it's one less rake you're going to have to drag. It's all a matter of your attitude and your perspective on things. We're in a dry place. My attitude says, that's just preparation ground for moving up another step. That's the way I look at it. The reason why it is important for you to hear the last 2 weeks, this week, and next week, is because all four of these are building blocks for where it is I believe the Lord wants us to go. Whoa, two, three, four. 2 weeks ago, those are building blocks. Okay. 2 weeks ago, I said on my heart for the church. Number one, prayer. Number two, fellowship. Which, by the way, speaking of fellowship, I want to thank personally all the dogs that worked so hard last week cleaning up after our church dinner. And for all the dogs, and for those of you who missed that sermon on two kinds of people, you'll need to get it or you'll think I'm being ugly. But I'm not. I want to thank all the dogs who worked so hard yesterday to make the reception for the massive amount of visitors who were here an absolutely wonderful event. Absolutely wonderful event. Prayer, fellowship, amen. Evangelism and vision. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about if God was in a warehouse in downtown Charlotte and you knew for a fact He was there, but it would cost you your life to go see Him, would you go see Him? And here's the point. If the glory of God is at a specific place, you're right here. If the answer is no, I would not run down there and give my life to see God. Because, and then you can fill in the blank wherever you want. I got young children. I got older children. I got grandchildren. I got a child that's pregnant. I got somebody who's sick. My husband needs me. I love my job. Whatever it is that would keep you from giving your life to see God, that thing acts as an interference between you and God. I started to say, sorry to tell you that, but I'm not sorry to tell you that. That's the truth. What is it they say these days? Deal with it. That's the truth. I'm not talking about that Don's lost. I'm not talking about his salvation. I'm talking about his sanctification. And it's an interesting thing the Bible says about sanctification. It's worked out two ways. With fear and trembling. That's how it's worked out. But we've got to take these things and we've got to eliminate whatever it is that would keep us from giving 110%. To the pursuit of the presence of God. Most of you know that I spent a lot of years traveling. I spent close to 7 years traveling around different churches and singing on kind of a part-time basis, and I spent 5 years doing it full-time. Many times when people are blessed by your ministry, they want to turn around and bless you back. So they have a word for you. Many times it's the word they want you to have, not a word God was actually sending to you. And one day I was praying about that and I said, God, I want to be protected from receiving seed in. That shouldn't be there. Somebody telling me something they want me to hear as opposed to something that you're telling them to tell me. You understand what I'm saying? So God said, God and I worked this out. I say God and I worked it. I mean, He told me what to do and I said, okay. He said, I'm going to do two things for you. I'm going to give you a witness in your spirit, number one, that the person that what's being said to you is of me. But how many of you know that there are times when people are telling you something good and you can have a witness in your spirit that that's from God and it ain't God? Amen? We just want it to be. So He said, I'm going to give you a witness in your spirit, number one. And then secondly, he called it a key. He said, I'm going to give you a key. I'm going to put something, and He told, I can't tell you what it is, okay? But He told me what it was He would tell them that would identify it as having been Him. And I don't think, do you even know? How do you say, I don't think I've ever even told? Okay. Well, then in that case, then there's only two of us that I know of who know that. Me and John Jenkins, Reverend John Jenkins is here first of the year. He knows, and I know. But other than that, nobody else knows what that key is. That God said, I will always use this key to open the door, and then I'll confirm it in your heart that it was me. So I've protected that over the years. There has been, by the power of the Holy Spirit, one exception to that in my life. And that's a man named Herb Murley. Somehow or another, when I met Herb Murley, there was just such a tremendous witness of the Spirit of God about that man. That there are, I mean, he's always been nice to me. Hey, Don, how you doing? Things going well? How's your family? That sort of thing. But when Herb Murley, on very rare occasions, but he has done this, on more occasions, but he's come at me and said, I have something to tell you. I've always known that that meant stop what you were doing, pay attention, this is God. I've never told him that, but I've always known that about him. That God just made that freeway in there for him to speak. Yesterday after the memorial service, he came up. He said, I have two things I want to tell you. I took my Bible, I set them down, I got my hands free, I consciously said to my mind, stop. Don't think about what you need to be doing next or where you need to go. Pay attention. Because God's getting ready to tell you something. Herb Murley said, number one, he said, I got two things I'll tell you. Number one, this church is in good hands. I said, thank you. He said, and number two, you've got a destiny that I think you're not even aware of yet. The only thing that will fulfill that destiny is you holding on to your self-confidence. Never let the enemy destroy your confidence. Good to see you again, Don. Turn around, walks out. I'm grabbing a pencil and piece of paper and I'm writing it down. Guys, generically speaking, there's a stirring going on. And one of the reasons why Herb Murley came and spoke to me yesterday is because before it flows to you, it's got to flow through me. In John chapter 18, I'd like with you to look, like for you to look with me at verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. That's John never refers to himself by his name. Okay? But that's who's talking about. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did John, that disciple that was known unto the high priest, which was John, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, Peter's following. John is with Jesus. They get to where the high priest lives. John and Jesus go in. Verse 15, okay? Verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, John again, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought Peter in. Okay, you follow the story so far? Then said the damsel, the woman who kept the door, unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Now look at verse 18 very carefully. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now what I want you to hold in your mind is this. What I want you to hold in your mind is this. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals. And what was it in verse 17 that Peter did? Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And he said, not me. Turn with me to chapter 21. Turn with me to chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. After these things, what things? After Calvary, after the resurrection, and after several days. That's where we are in our time frame, okay? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going to go fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Please read these words. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You got the picture here? Been fishing all night. He's standing on the shore, but they don't recognize him. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." They still don't know who he is. Verse 6. He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples, all the rest of the ones who were out there fishing in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they came to land, they saw what? There, and fish laid thereon and bread. The expression, the term, fire of coals is only used two times in the Scripture. Two times in the Scripture. One where Peter says, "I don't know him." And one where Jesus has fixed breakfast for the disciples and has called them in to eat. Look with me at chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus said unto Peter a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Here's the point I want to make to you this morning, okay? Here's the message in a nutshell. Peter had to come back to the place where he denied in order to get it right. Only two times in Scripture does the Scriptures use the phrase fire of coals. The first time Peter's standing there, he goes, "No, I don't know him." But you know, how many of you believe that the Bible has any errors in it at all? If you believe that it has an error, raise your hand. Okay? Then look at how verse 19 is phrased. Notice it doesn't say as soon as they came to land they saw their fish. It doesn't say as soon as they came to land they saw bread. What does it say? As soon as they came, they saw... First thing Peter saw was, uh-oh! The place where I stood and denied him, I'm back again. Now, I think it's interesting Jesus let him sweat a little bit. If you go to verse 15, it says, after they had finished eating. Because Peter had some reckoning inside of Peter he needed to get done. Because you see, he hadn't settled that issue yet. He and Jesus had not had a conversation about Peter's denial at this point. But Jesus brought Peter back to the place of denial and said, "I'm going to give you another chance." The reason we call the gospel the good news is because it is good news. And the good news is this, ladies and gentlemen. at whatever fire you gave the wrong answer, you get another chance. Our hesitation is we don't want to go back to that fire. But we don't want to go back to that fire. And you know why? Shame. Guilt. Fear. We're afraid that because of what we've done, Jesus doesn't love us anymore. Now, here's what I want to show you. Verses 15 through 17, how many times did Jesus say, Peter, do you know that I love you? How many times did He say it? Not once. How many times did Jesus say, Peter, do you know I love you? He said three times, Peter, do you love me? Because the love of God for me and you is never in question. Jesus wouldn't ask a ridiculous question like that. Peter, do you believe I love you? Because the very thought that God doesn't love you in Jesus' mind was so far out there, that's a ludicrous question. The question is not, do I love you? The question is, have you still made the decision to love me? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I phrased that just exactly the way I intended for it to come out. At heart, I'm a romanticist. I believe in love at first sight. But I'm going to tell you something about love. You don't fall in love. You choose. And not only does that work on this level, that works on this level. But see, God's already made His choice. Sealed it in His own blood. And the question never arises in God's mind, am I going to love Frank Clark today? No. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for Frank. I'm going to give him new mercy every morning. The question is not, does he love me? The question is, have I made a decision to not walk away from him? See, that's why we won't come back to the fire. We won't come back because how many times have you heard people say, with what I've done, God can't love me? And God says, no, come here. Come back up here to this fire. Stand right here. Warm yourself. Let's talk about this thing. Now, I know who I am, what I'm doing. What are you doing? How many of you know that we hurt people that we love? We hurt people that we love. And that's what Peter did. Peter hurt someone that he loved. But you know, Jesus and Peter never even got into that discussion. It was, because see, here's the thing. You understand that heaven is not going to be a testimony time for the unregenerated, don't you? Well, I was a really bad sinner. Now, they like to brag about it here, but that's all the bragging they're going to get to do. I went out last night and I'd like to tell you all about it. But heaven is not a testimony time for how bad you've been. It's not a testimony time for how good you've been. Although how good you've been is going to be rewarded. I understand that. Okay? But God has so, the Scripture says, commanded His love towards us that when we come back, He's not dealing with the past. Because all we got to do is say, I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? And the past is wiped up under the blood. What Jesus deals with is, Do you love me now? Wes? Yes, I do. Then feed my sheep. Jesus is always talking this way. We're always looking that way. How many of you got 20/20 hindsight? I know I do. But as long as the enemy can keep us looking back over our shoulder and weighing us down with regret. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. He can keep us from hearing those words, "Do you love me?" Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Well, that's all right. Beginning with verse 35. I always find it interesting that this first word is who, not what. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did you all know that who is a tribulation is a who? Tribulation is a who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. Tribulation is a who. Oh, Lordy, I thought y'all knew that. And you're going, huh? Look at it. It doesn't say, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation. I mean, I asked you a minute ago, does your Bible have any errors in it? Who was put there for a reason? Tribulation comes to us not because of it's a what, it's a who. Gosh, some of you are still looking at me like, what? Do we wrestle against flesh and blood, or do we wrestle against principalities and powers? And are they what's or whose? They're whose. That's the... Yeah, that's scary. It doesn't say what separates us. It says who separates us. Shall tribulation? Distress is a who? Persecution is a who? Famine is a who? Nakedness is a who? Peril is a who? And the sword is a who? They're all who's. Because we're not wrestling against each other. I can't believe what Samima said about me. My problem is not with her. Right? We're warring in the heavenlies. Okay. I mean, that's about all I can say about that, but I still think some of you are going, what? I can just kind of feel it. Some of you are still looking at that verse going, is that what it says really? That's what it says. Okay, let me move on. 36. As it is written, for thy sake were we killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither the fire of coals of death or the fire of coals of life. You know what people's greatest fears are? Number one greatest fear of people is dying. You know what number two greatest fear is? Living. For I am persuaded that neither the fire of coals of death, the fire of coals of life, the fire of coals of angels, the fire of coals of principalities, the fire of coals of powers, the fire of coals of things present, the fire of coals of things to come, the fire of coals of heights, the fire of coals of depths, nor any other fire of coal can separate me from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. I personally think, and I'll talk to the Holy Spirit about this, you know, I'm making a list of things I want to know. Why is it when you do right, it's hard? When you do wrong, it's easy? I want to ask the Lord that question. I mean, where is the logic in the rain falling on the unjust? I'd like to know where the logic is in that, please. There are things I'd like to know. After a few thousand years of doing some other things, I'll probably get around to asking some questions. But one of the questions I want to ask is, why did you phrase this way? Because you see, to me, the real question is not what separates the love of God. Let me do it this way. Where's my pen? Here's God sitting up here. And here's Don down here. The question is phrased, what can separate Don from the love of God? I felt like the question should have been phrased this way. The question should have been phrased this way. What can separate Don from God's love? Could be anything I choose. It could be death. How many of you have known people that had a... I'm not using a specific example because I know of an example. This is probably just a broad enough example that some of you probably know somebody. How many of you know somebody? They've had like a child to die. They quit coming to church. If that's the way God is. Or a spouse. Or a parent. Or something. The question is not what separates Don from the love of God. The question is, who is there in Don's life that God could take and Don go, well, if that's the kind of God you are, I don't want nothing to do with you. Where is my fire of coals? Follow me? Follow my thinking, guys? Where is my fire of coals in death? What was the next one? Life. Where is my fire of coals in life? That it gets so hard or so difficult or so emotionally disturbing or I am so stressed or so worried or so frustrated with that I go, the heck with you! And I'm going to tell you something. If you've lived more than 10 minutes with God, you've probably been at that place a time or two. And if you haven't, you are lying or you are dying. That's the only two choices you have. Because I'm going to tell you something about God. God puts the gloves on and calls you out. Yes, sir, He does. He says, come on, come on. I'm getting ready to wind your clock. Doesn't He? Because there are times we just get so stubborn, God says, I'm going to knock some of that out of you. And if you've never gotten that real with God, you ain't grown up very much. What makes the relationship between my wife and I as wonderful as it is that there have been times we've put the gloves on. Not physically. You understand? But I mean we've been at it. But you know what it does? It strengthens the relationship if you bring that thing down to the right place. It will strengthen the relationship. But sometimes we all know of people who've had a trip in life that separated not God's love towards them, but their love towards God. Angels. Principalities. Powers. Let's talk about those three together. There were people who got involved with spiritual warfare to where they forgot who it was they were fighting for. I remember one of the sickest, and I've not thought about this till just now, Mike. I went to a church one time to minister where there was a demon under every bush. Everything was the devil's fault. Everything. And so if your child misbehaved in church, you never disciplined the child. Because the child was not the problem. It was a demon inside of them. I came away from that weekend experience physically ill. And stayed ill all week, not realizing it was from that contamination that I was sick. And I went, the end of the week, I was getting ready to go back out on the road again. And I went to Living Word. Dad was there. That was when your office was upstairs. Clarence was there. And they prayed for me, and God set me free from that contamination. I was instantly, physically healed. We lost some people in the kingdom because their love for God got misdirected to their love for playing around with the occult. Now, if they were sitting in this room right now, they would just probably be ready to grab a rope and toss it around my neck and let's put the other end around this big tree out here. But brothers and sisters, that's the truth. Did you hear what she said? They would just rebuke you. Yeah, it's a demon made him say. You have to forgive him as a demon made him say it. But we know people, don't we? I'm going somewhere with this, guys. Nor things present. God, if this happens, I'm going to. Nor things to come. That's for the warriors. That's for the warriors. Nor heights. What are we talking about there? I've known people who have gotten so high in their own eyes, they didn't need God anymore. And no matter how high they thought they were, God's love was still headed towards them, but their love was not headed back up because they can do it now. Nor depths, that's just the other end. If God really loved me, I wouldn't be having all this financial trouble, and I wouldn't be in this depression, and I wouldn't be sleeping in the back of my car, and I wouldn't be this, and I wouldn't be that. And they've gotten so low in life that now then everything's become God's fault. Nor any creature. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just simply anything shall be able to separate us from the love of God. But the real question is, can any of those things separate God from your love? That was my introduction. Now here's the sermon. You know, when I do it that way, the sermons are always real short. Remember the 5 B's of public speaking. Be brief, brother. Be brief. Isn't that right, Daddy? The 3 rules of public speaking. You stand up to be seen. You speak up to be heard. You finish up to be appreciated. Bring all that down to this one point. That was my introduction. Here's my sermon. And I'm looking at this thing 2 ways. I'm going to put an I for individual and put a C for corporate. Let's deal with individually. Individually, I'm going to be real honest with you. Right at this point, I can't think of a fire coals I got in my heart. But if there's one there, I want God to show it to me. But individually, we may have a fire of coals. The place where we stood and we were warming ourselves with the world. And we made the wrong decision and we said the wrong thing. And individually, there may need to be a coming back. Can I say it this way? To the breakfast table. where there's bread and there's fish and there's conversation and where there is a restoration of relationship. The same thing could very well be true corporately. Corporately, we may have made some decisions, done some things, didn't make some decisions, didn't do some things, because we were standing too shoulder to shoulder with the world around a warm place. And God is saying, hey, catching anything out there? No, sir. I've been busting my tail all night, and I've got nothing to show for it. If you don't think that sitting under the sound of my voice right now, that there's a real, I would even go so far as to say, I'd almost guarantee you there's somebody who just understood exactly what I just said. That life to them seems like an awful lot of activity not going nowhere. Working. Let me change my word. Busy. And when I get done, I look down at the bottom of my life and I go, where in the world are the fish? You would think that after all this, I'd have something show for it. But I'm going to tell you something. Till we come back, that's how life is. It's around and around, around and around, around and around. It's true individually, and it's true corporately. So here's what I'm asking you. Next Sunday, out of the church, I'm going to ask for volunteers. Out of the eldership, you don't have a vote. Sorry, with privilege comes a certain responsibilities. I didn't get a vote, you don't get a vote. Next Sunday, I'm going to call the church to a fast for 1 week. It will be the week prior to Yvonne Peters coming. It's amazing how God can sort of line things up, isn't it? And I want us to pray for Yvonne. And I want us to pray for the dance camp and for the people who will be using this facility. But I want to pray that somewhere, somehow, in all of that, that is... I'm going to say what I am saying. That somehow in all of that, and in conjunction with our vacation Bible school, and all that we will see that vision clearer and break through. You know what they're going to be doing that week? Worshiping. And see, that's what brings God in. And I want us to fast. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that. Well, I'll get into all that next week. Well, since I already said that much, let me say this. There are lots of fasting. We always think of food. And you can do food if you want to. But fasting is where we say to God, God, I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to take the 2 hours that I spend at night watching TV, and I'm going to fast from my TV, and I'm going to spend that 2 hours seeking your face. And you can eat all you want. Me personally, I'm going to fast 1 full week from beating my wife. Yeah. But it's where we take something that is important to us or that we want and we say, yeah, fast from lying. We take We take that thing and we set it to the side and we say, God, the time I would devote to that, I'm going to devote to you. Okay, so we'll talk about that more next week. But I'm calling the church to a fast in whatever way that you and God want to work it out for us to say to God, God, more than anything else, we want to be the warehouse in downtown Charlotte. In other words, we want to be the place where you just burst forth. And if he kills us, he kills us. And if he don't, then we'll just take the glory like Moses and we'll walk outside and we'll hear him over at the motel standing on the balcony and go, hey, cover your head. But I need to think about that. I just now thought about that. I need to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision before that as to how I'm going to answer that question. I see Wes's mind turning. My first reaction is I'm going to say, no, come on over here and get some of what I got. I'm not covering my head. This light's not under a basket. I'm not getting on Moses. I'm going to pray. That's one of the things I'm going to pray about. Because I'm going to tell you something. Nothing happens until somebody believes. And brothers and sisters, I believe. I believe. What is our fire of coals that Jesus is calling us back to? Not because he wants to go eat them. What in the world were you thinking? But because he wants to repeat what he's always said. Tamima, do you love me? Janet, do you love me? I've got something I want you to do. But, he goes, no. Remember, they took the butt, the goat, they took it outside so far away it couldn't come back. That's where all your butts are. So far away that they can't come back. He didn't want to talk about your goats. He says, today, right now, where you're sitting, you love me? I've already made my decision. I love you. You make your decision. Do you love me? Take my hand and let's go forward from here. Between now and next week when I call the church to a time of fasting, ask God to show you if you got a fire. And if you got a fire, where is it? Some of you may be thinking, well, surely you know where that fire is. Hey, denial is a powerful thing. Denial is a powerful thing. And sometimes we can lie to ourselves long enough, we believe the lie to be the truth. Ready to close, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say one more thing to you. When the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, if you go back and you exegesis that verse, see the way we've always heard it taught in our Baptist background was, you shall know the truth set you free, Jesus is the truth, come to Jesus and you're free. Well, I've come to Jesus and I ain't free. So there must have been something wrong with that interpretation. If you go back and you exegesis that verse and put it back in its original text, actually what it says is this. When you know the truth about yourself, that truth will then set you free. Because see, I lie to myself all the time. Hello, don't look at me like, yeah, you do. Yes, we do. And sometimes God uses my parents to tell me the truth about myself. And when I hear that truth will set me free if I'll listen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses my wife to tell me a truth that I don't want to hear. But if I will hear and obey that truth will set me free. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come and say, Don, I know you thought what you thought you was meaning was to do this, but really what you did was this. And that truth will set you free. I said something to Judy Jacobs about 2 months ago, just in passing. She made a comment to me, I made a comment back to her. I meant absolutely nothing by it. I got home and the next day I woke up with Judy Jacobs on my mind and said to myself, you know what I said and what I meant? I don't think I came. And I couldn't get to a phone fast enough. Because the Holy Spirit brought me that truth that what I said didn't quite come across. And I called her up and I said, Judy, this is what I said, but this is what I really meant. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. She said, Lord, no, I knew what you meant. I was like, thank you. But see, what I thought and what was true were a long ways away from each other. Pray and ask God, God, where is my fire? Where was I when I was standing at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people and I said or did the wrong thing? That caused not me to fall from grace, but me to have that interference between me and you. That interference that has made me afraid that if you were in that warehouse downtown, it was going to cost me. I don't want to go down there. Where's your fire? And notice it just said a fire of coals. It wasn't a big fire you bring marshmallows to. See, most of the things that trip us up they're just the coals. Just the embers. The Bible says it this way. It's the small foxes that are destroying my vine. It's just that little bit of unforgiveness towards Mike that I keep harboring. Because he can do what I want him to do, say what I want him to say, be where I want him to be, whatever. Just that little bit of resentment towards Lois because she didn't meet some expectation I thought she should have met. See, it's just that coals that Jesus wants to bring me back to eliminate the interference. God, I pray for myself. Lord, we want to be like Elijah. We want to see you high and lifted up. And we want you to take a coal from off of your altar and touch and incinerate the coals that are in our lives. Take that coal from off of your altar and establish it on a throne in our heart that its warmth and its light would shine out to a cold and dark world. God, I'm an unclean man. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in a church. I dwell in a nation. And I dwell on a world of unclean people. God, touch us with your presence and make us whole. leads. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.